blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1 through 4 of Psalter 204. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, the third chapter, Romans chapter 3. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead, He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? But if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, and that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, and there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou who hast given thy law, and thou who hast also fulfilled thy law, for the sake of thy own people, thou knowest what place that law has in our life, each one of us in a personal way. And whether we will have nothing to do with that law, though we have no desire for thee and the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, how many of us does this not pertain to even in this day, when we are still in that state in which we have been born, and when we may hear thy law, and the expounding of thy law Sabbath after Sabbath day, but it makes no impression in our hearts, and we learn not to love thy law, then, Lord, that law will also be used when we will come into the great judgment, and we will be judged according to that law. Lord, that we may receive hearts to understand, in a day of grace, before that we are condemned eternally by that law. Oh, that we may see that we must give an answer, and that we are not able to stand before thee. Lord, when there are those also in our midst, for whom that law that has become a delight, that they desire to walk according to it, those in whom thou hast planted that new life, and for whom that law is a delight, oh, that thou may remember them also, and may thou lead them from step to step unto Zion, that it is thy own work that thou hast planted in their heart. But, Lord, thou knowest to where they need to be led, because that hope and that expectation that it may still yet be so much upon ourselves, and that we will try to fulfill that law, even out of love to thee. Lord, and we need to see that that curse of that law that lieth upon us, because we cannot fulfill it, because we cannot measure up to the spirituality of thy law. Lord, that thou would open then the eyes, and that they might see, and that they might despair of all hope in self, that they may ever come to the fulfillment of thy law. Lord, that is a difficult way for the flesh of men. Then we need to be so stripped, then we need to be so broken down, then we need to come to that blessed confession that without me ye can do nothing. Oh, that thou would give it in the midst of us as a congregation. And Lord, when there are those that must see that curse, and that so go over this world with that curse lying upon them, that are not able to bring themselves out of it, oh, that they may be brought to that holy despair. When thou wouldst reveal thyself as he who has fulfilled that law, in order that it may be written on the account of those who have transgressed, of those who are transgressors, of transgressors from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. Oh, that thou may open, that thou may reveal thyself in the life of sinners, that for man it may truly become impossible, that the possibility may be seen in thee, that man may come to look unto thee, that he may come to trust in thee, that he may come to rest in thee, with all the sin and all the iniquity, that they may be forgiven by thee, that they may be washed in thy precious blood, that they may be cleansed, and that that precious law that may be for them their rule of life. O Lord, it shall forever remain thy law. It shall forever remain holy. O that thou may give thy people also a desire to walk according to it, that it ever may be the revealer of the wretchedness that is within, and that thy church must continue to increase in the knowledge of self, but that they may also increase in that blessed knowledge of thine only begotten Son, and then also the knowledge of the Father, how that he has received the obedience of his only begotten Son in the place of his people, that he has therefore justified them and has delivered them from going down into the pit. Oh, he has found a ransom, and therefore he will bring them. He will accept them. He will receive them again into that blessed communion when they will be brought by the Son of God into that everlasting abode. Lord, remember each and every one of us. Oh, that law that has everything to do with each and every one. And there is not one exempt from the oldest to the youngest. But Lord, thy servant did say that he was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and he died. Oh, that this may be the experience also in this day, when we are called to preach thy holy law, and the inability of man, oh, that we may be given hearts to receive What is so repulsive to our proud flesh by nature, and that we may be made by Thee the meek that shall inherit the earth. Lord, look upon each and every one. Do forgive and take away our many, many sins. Wilt Thou supply for all those that are needy in this life, over the length and the breadth of this world, in disasters, in diseases, in persecutions, in famines. Lord, Thou knowest each one and all the misery that sin has brought upon us, that Thou Thyself may visit in all of this destruction, and that Thou may reveal Thyself as the provider of His creature, but also as the Savior of His people, that Thy word may be brought to the ends of the earth, that they may be given to look unto Thee, for Thou art God, and there is none else. Look, Lord, upon our children and our youth. Wilt Thou supply in the days of their youth, that also the education that they may receive may be sanctified to their souls. Wilt Thou be with parents in the instruction of our children, that we may not leave it unto our to the teachers in the school, and that we may not leave it to the elders within the church, but that our great responsibility may be laid upon us, and that we may be made more faithful, and that we may receive wisdom and guidance from Thee how to perform that responsible labor. Lord, wilt Thou look also upon our young people, and wilt Thou supply in all the needs and in all the cares as they grow up in this world. Wilt Thou keep them from all sin and evil. And wilt Thou watch over those who go to universities and colleges. Wilt Thou keep them, Lord, with Thy truth, that it may be planted in their heart. Then it shall never leave them. Then everything that comes against it, that will be put away by Thee. O Lord, remember them. O give also a desire in the heart of our young people, that they also may be joined unto the outward church. When the confession classes will begin in the day of tomorrow, when Thou wilt give it, Lord, wilt Thou give that choice may be laid upon their hearts, even as it was in the heart of Ruth of old, and that she may say, Thy people, my people, and Thy God, my God. Lord, that there may be those who have such a desire, that may come forth to take over that responsibility that has been lying upon their father and upon their mother. Wilt Thou look upon all those that may bring Thy word, also those that are persecuted. Thou knowest where they are, and Thou knowest what they need. Strength from above, oh, help them in all their circumstances. And wilt Thou continue to provide for us in the nation in which we live, that we may continue with our children to meet in freedom, to come up unto Thy house of prayer. Remember and strengthen our rulers. Bring them to Thy footstool, and cause them to lead us in accordance with Thy holy word. And go before Thy servants upon the mission fields, Wilt thou provide also for our own mission field, that we may receive also a servant who may go forth once again to bring thy word to those who are without. And Lord, wilt thou so bring thy word over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Remember those who have been united in the bond of holy matrimony in the week that is gone by, and those who hope to be so united in the week to come. Oh, provide for them when they are young, and that thou may remember that institution, and that those who may have taken that vow upon them, their own lips, and that we may take care also of that relation that thou hast brought us into, that we may learn to cherish it, that we may nourish it as a plant that needs to be watered, and that so there may be peace and quietness in the midst of our families, that there may be a love and stability for our dear children, that they may be taught in the things of God, not only by our mouths, but also by our walk, and that thou so would bless thy word also in the midst of us. Lord, wilt thou go before us in this afternoon? Help us once again that we may be able to preach thy word and give the matter to burn within our hearts. And may thou give us a love for the souls of our congregation, and that thy spirit may dwell among us, work among us. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. We announced that the last collection today is for the school. Also that, the Lord willing, the first seniors' morning for the season will be on Tuesday, September 23rd. Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. Congregation, when Elijah stood upon the Mount Carmel, and then he cried out to the children of Israel, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And we all know what that history is, and how that people, they are soon crying out, "The Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God." And then all the prophets of Baal have to be put away. But it is not so long that we read of many prophets again. And then we read how that Micaiah, the servant of the Lord, he is not among all of these prophets. Thus, the Reformation in that land of Israel, that amounted to not very much at all, that amounted to nothing but a superficial building up of the worship of the Lord. We read about Joash, that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. But when Jehoiada the priest had passed away, then we read that he left the house of the Lord, and that he served the idols, and that he even slew Zechariah, and that a son of Jehoiada. So right it was Joshua when he brought the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. He said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And what did they say? What was their answer, children? We will serve the Lord. What did Joshua say? He said, you cannot serve the Lord. That is the reality. You have no heart to serve the Lord. You may have a little bit of outward reformation, but it is out of a self-centered motive. But you cannot serve the Lord. Many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we read, when he was here upon earth. And yet, what do we read of the Lord himself? He says that he did not commit himself unto man. Why not? Because he knew what was in the heart of man. And that is the continuation of the instruction of our fathers in the eighth question of Lord's Day 3 that we wish to consider together in this afternoon, Lord's Day 3. Question and answer number 8. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Answer, indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. So far, our Lord's Day. The capability of man, first in the state of nature, second in the state of grace. The capability of man, first in the state of nature, second in the state of grace. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good? Good. What is that good that our fathers are speaking of here in this question. Then they are not speaking about outward acts which may be good in themselves, as opposed to doing evil and wicked acts in this world. Every one of us, even the most wicked in this world, is still capable of performing external good acts. Then we are also able to choose to put our collection in the collection bag. And we are able also to give bread to the poor. We are able to help those who are needy. Such good works, if we may call them such, as such good works, they are still dwelling in this world. Why? Only because the Lord is restraining men. Because the Lord is putting a fence, a wall about that evil heart of men, and so that it is not boiling over with its wickedness. Thus it is common grace in order that mankind may still survive in this world, in order that the church of God may be brought in order that the iniquity of the Amorites may be full. Then it is the common grace of God that is restraining the enmity and the evil and the hatred that is lying in your and my heart. Why is it then that our instructors, they say, wholly incapable of doing any good? Well, because they are not speaking of this good, but they are speaking about another good. They are speaking about that good that we have just heard of in the previous questions and in the previous Lord's Day. And what good is that? That is that good that is required of mankind by that holy law of God. That is that good which is the fulfillment of that covenant of works which the Lord has made with Adam in paradise. It is that good which is able to stand in that judgment of God when it is written on our account. It is good. It is that good that is coming out of a heart that is that has that pure, unadulterated love living in it. That love which is the fulfillment of that law of God. And it is this good that our instructors are here speaking about when they say that we are wholly incapable, that we have become weak through the flesh, then we cannot count our good deeds. That is, those good deeds, though they are approved by men, no, then they are not approved as that true good before God. Wholly incapable of doing any good. Thus, that is a statement about the depth of our fall. And that is just the contrary of what we have heard in the book of Genesis. And when we may read of the account of the creation, that the Lord says, "Behold, it is very good." That was also then the deeds of man. That was also then what lay in the heart of man. And now it is just the opposite. And that our fathers, they are saying, wholly incapable of doing any good. That is denied by many people in our world. And not only is it denied by many people in our world who say no, that we are basically a good creature, and when you will be good, and when you will be civil to one another, and when you will love one another, then you can expect that the Lord, He will overlook all of your imperfections when you come into that day of judgment. An outward denial, an outright denial of the fall of man. Not only is there outright denial, there is very often a confessing of the fall of man, but in a practical way, a denial of that fall. And indeed, every person who has not been instructed in that fall in a personal way by the work of the Holy Spirit, he is in denial of his fallen state. There is no man outside of the instruction of the Holy Spirit that will truly own his spiritual death, his spiritual incapability. And then even after the Lord begins in the heart of his children, then they need to be taught, they need to be instructed how deep and that fall of man is. And that it is, as our fathers say, wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness. Thus, that is a statement that has to say something about our will. That is, the bondage of our will. Our fathers say, inclined to all wickedness. So that is, that they are coming against that free will doctrine of Arminius and the Remonstrants. Not only so, but coming against that practical denial of that fall of man. And then here, once again, we must be very careful that we are clear in what that really means, that man does not have a free will in the sense that Arminius said, that man is still able to take hold of that lifeline that is thrown to him in the gospel. Because indeed, there is a sense, indeed, in a certain way, that will of man is still free. The will is something that belongs to our human nature. And in our fall, we did not lose our human nature. And since we did not lose our human nature, we also did not lose our will. That is, man remained completely human. What is that, the will? Well, we might say for our purpose here that it has to do with the power of man to make a choice. The power of man to make a decision between one thing or another. Thus, this power that is in the will of man, that belongs to man as a rational, as an intelligent creature, is not an animal. And he did not become an animal in the fall. But he is able to consider, he is able to deliberate, he is able to make a choice. And when he makes his choice, then he is not in any way constrained in that choice. Then he is not forced to make a decision one way instead of the other way, but he may make his own choice. That is true of all our behaviors. You may choose, young people, to drink or not to drink. You choose it. You may choose, children, to obey or not to obey. That is your own choice. And that belongs to your will. In that sense, we say that man is a free agent because he has this ability to make a choice. You say, but is that choice not determined already? Does not God know already from eternity what that choice of man is going to be? Has he not already worked it out? And in his providence, is he not bringing each person with every choice that he makes? Is he not guiding each man? Does he not have the heart of kings in his hand? Did he not do so in the days of Mordecai? That is true. That is true in the providence of God. The choices of man that he makes in this world, they are all actually from the side of God predetermined. They are lying in his eternal decree. However, when man is making these choices, the Lord is not dealing with him as a stock or as a stone. But when man is making these choices, the Lord is leaving each individual so completely free. We are conscious of that. You are conscious of it, young people, of your freedom to choose one or the other. Thus, you are conscious that you remain, even after your fall, a free agent. Thus, then what do our fathers speak of? And what do we speak of when we say that man does not have a free will? Well, in the first place, then we heard what kind of good, what kind of choices in the first place we are speaking of, that we are speaking about that true spiritual good. And before our fall, man was inclined unto good. Behold, it was very good. And the whole heart and inclination of man went out after that true God. And he was fully able to choose that spiritual good and what was truly right and good in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. And because that Adam was capable of doing this, and he chose so freely not to do it, therefore Adam is held so responsible in that sight of God. How is it now after the fall? Well, we said after the fall, man did not lose his will. And yet, that will of men did lose something. That is not that the will of man lost its power to freely choose. Then he would have no will at all. But that will of men that lost its power to choose that which is truly good. Thus, we can never say that man is constrained to make his choice in the evil. No, every choice that man makes, that is made freely, because man remains a free agent in that sight of God. But now, that will of man that is bent only in one direction. The Word of God says the thought, every imagination of the heart of man that is only evil continually. Thus, the whole bent, the whole inclination of that heart of man, that is to freely, of his own choice, choose that which is evil. That now belongs to the fallen nature of mankind, so that he cannot do differently. You say, then man is not really a free agent, because he really cannot make a choice between the two. But that is not so. Is God free? And yet, he is not able to choose that which is evil. And why can he not choose that which is evil? Because of his nature. Because of who he is. Because he is God. And he is righteous and he is holy. And because of his nature, then he is not able to choose the evil. And yet, he remains in himself perfectly free. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So it is of God. How is it of man? An evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Thus man, though he is not restrained, though he is not constrained, he cannot choose that good. He remains under that dominion of Satan as a slave. But not as a slave like the children of Israel were, but as a willing slave. As a slave who has his heart so united unto the soul of his master that he desires what his master would have of him. And therefore, congregation, never will we be able to blame God. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Indeed we are. And why are we so incapable? Why are we so unable? Because of our corrupt will. We are unable because of our corrupt will. Here again, congregation, we must be so careful. And why must we become so careful? Because with the truth, the man, he is so often propagating what is error. Well, man says, you are only unable because you are so unwilling. So you should not be so unwilling. And then he begins to work on the will of man. As if what? As if man had the ability to make a change in his will. As if man could take that wretched, depraved will and make it good again. As if he was not a fallen creature. As if he still retained a good heart. Our instructors, they say it's so different. They say not only incapable, but they say wholly incapable. Say that is our instructors. That is right. And where do our instructors bring their instruction from? They bring it out of the Word of God. They bring all this together out of that Word of God. Where do we read this in the Word of God? What does Paul say? The carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. That carnal mind cannot be subject unto that law of God because of that fallen nature. By nature, man calls good evil and evil good. He puts light for darkness. He puts darkness for light. He puts bitter for sweet. He puts sweet for bitter. The Bible says he takes pleasure in what? He takes pleasure in unrighteousness. He wallows in it, his whole being. He walketh, how? He walketh according to the prince of the power of the air, that is in wickedness. What does the Scripture say about our ability to change our will, to make it good again? Dead. Dead, he says, in trespasses and in sins. That we are not able to discern spiritual things. That in us dwelleth no good thing. No, from our side, impossible to change that wretched will. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may you do good, who are accustomed, the Lord says, to do evil. Why did the Lord Jesus have to come to this earth? We read he had to come here to seek and to save that which is lost. No, our instructors knew this impossibility from the side of man by nature. And therefore, what do our instructors tell us that we need? They tell us that we need to be born again. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Indeed we are. Except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Thus, they say we must be taken out of that broken covenant. And we must be placed in that new covenant. We must be cut off from that old vine.
and we must be implanted in a new vine. Let us sing first. 23. 1, 2, 3, and 6. The God who sits enthroned on high, the foolish in their heart deny, not one does good, corrupt in thought, unrighteous works their hands have wrought. 1, 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 23.
Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Indeed, we are. Thus, our instructors cut off all hope from the side of man. Indeed, we are. Maybe you say, young people, what a hopeless religion. What a discouraging answer. Indeed, we are. That is not true. No, that is not true at all. Why not? Because our fathers do not end here. But they continue. They continue to give instruction. Indeed, we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Thus, what do our fathers do? They cut off the expectation of hope in man, in order that they may establish that expectation of hope in God. That is hope from the side of heaven. Is salvation impossible because it cannot come from the side of man? Our fathers say, no. No, it would be impossible if it had to come from our side, because our will is so corrupt that it would never choose. Do you not feel it, young people? Do you not feel it? What is your choice? Is it not for the world? Is it not for the pleasures? Is it not for the entertainments? Is that not what we want to feed ourselves with? Will you choose God? Will you choose what is spiritual? Will you choose what is heavenly? Will you let your treasure be above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God? No, you say, indeed, that is not my choice, and that is right. And that would never be our choice. So when we become older, it is because we have a corrupt will. And therefore, if it had to be from us, impossible. But now our fathers, they say that does not mean that it is impossible. Why? Because there is a God in heaven. What is impossible with man, that is possible with God. Except, they say, except. Thus, there is an exception. There's one way yet that it is still possible. Except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. What is that? Regeneration. Our fathers define it in the canons of Dort. And this is that regeneration so highly celebrated in Scripture and denominated a new creation, a resurrection from the dead, a making alive which God works in us without our aid. There is our hope. There is the hope for everyone who is incapable of doing any good and who is in his very heart inclined unto all evil. No, not hope in man, but hope in God. Therefore, hope for the chiefest of the sinners in this world. Hope for the hardest of the hearts in this world. That is why we teach you, children, as parents, that you must ask the Lord for what? For a new heart. No, there is no reason to despair. As long as this world still stands, and as long as we are given our life,
Oh, then where must we go for it? We must go for it in our inner chamber. We must go for it upon our knees. We must ask the Lord to work that which He can work without our aid. Because, Lord, we will never choose it. And we will never seek after Thee. Because it was said by Thy servant that we cannot serve the Lord. And yet the Lord gives us means to do so. Oh, what advantage then hath the Jew? Much every way. Great advantage. Why? Because unto him are committed the oracles of God. That is now the means that the Lord has given to us under the means of grace, that we may receive that which we cannot do of ourselves. And now what happens? Now what happens in that regeneration when the Lord brings out of that old covenant and He implants into that new and that living vine? Then there is a change. Then there is a great change. It is a change of state. So that a man from dead, he becomes alive. What greater change can there be than to go from dead to alive? No, that is not your life, boys and girls, but that is spiritual life. And now what about the capability of man? After that new birth, we heard what it was by nature. What about the capability of man after that new birth? Our canons go further. Whereupon, that is, when regenerated, the will, thus renewed, is not only actuated and influenced by God, but in consequence of this influence, becomes itself active. Wherefore, also man is himself rightly said to believe and to repent by virtue of that grace received. Thus, what does man receive in that true regeneration? That is a renewal of his will. That is new inclinations. That is a new power. To do what? Spiritual good. To make a choice for that which is spiritually good. Then he begins. He makes a small beginning of that true obedience. He receives faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now the Lord gives him faith. And now that renewed will. Oh, what do you feel is your will? Children, young people, the will after the world. Carnal, worldly, sensual. Now a new will. New desire. New longing, a new hunger, a new thirst that is going in a new direction, that Spirit of the Lord, He is regenerating, He is renewing that whole man, taking that stony heart out of our flesh, giving to us a heart of flesh, a heart that can receive true saving impressions, a heart that now can weep over sin because of the love of God, a renewed will, a renewed ability to choose that which is good. That's the first thing. We read about Saul. The Lord comes. And we read, he says to God, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Was that ever our question? Did we ever have such a renewed will? What a changed man. We do not recognize him anymore. With that renewed will. Congregation, how is it in our life? We also know something of that regeneration. Say, how may I know that? Well, we must ask ourselves that also in the weeks to come, because we hope soon to commemorate that Holy Supper of the Lord again. And here it is such an essential matter concerning that Holy Supper of the Lord. How may we know that? We may know it, the Lord Jesus says, by the fruits. And where does that begin? That begins in the heart. That begins in the renewal of the will. Was there ever change in your heart? A new love, a new longing. Not after the blessings. Everyone wants the blessings. Everyone wants to die the death of the righteous, that it may be peace in their death. Everyone wants to go to heaven when they die. But there is not one. There is not one of us by nature whose heart goes out after God. That is not what Adam chose. And we are the sons of Adam. So we may know something of that renewed will when that heart that begins to go out after the true and the living God. Do we know something of that regeneration? Or maybe you say, I cannot deny that I knew something about this in my life. When my automobile, when my tractor, when the furniture in my home, when the walls, when they could only speak, then they would tell you of the tears. They would tell you how that I have gone on my knees, how that I have besought the Lord. They would tell you about my life. They would tell you what was living within my heart, but it seems like it is all gone. It has now become so different. And those inclinations that I cannot deny were in my heart, now I see more and more inclinations after the flesh, the inclinations after this world. Oh, I think that it must never have been right, because I seem to have received my old self back again. You read in the Bible that the Lord Jesus cast out devils. And how that the devil went out, there came in seven more, more evil than the first. You did not think that it was going to be a warfare, did you? You thought that that blessed desire, that blessed longing, that was going to increase. And you thought that all the rejection of the world that you felt in that time, you thought that that was going to become stronger and stronger. And so that you would live more and more as a pilgrim in this life. And so that you would be received by God in the end of your life with what? With your new desire. With your new longing. And so you would be received. No. No. There is a testimony in the heart of the true church, of the true work of God. And what is it? It is a warfare. Because that new inclination that is living beside an old inclination, and that new man that is living beside that old man, and that old man will not depart until the day of our death. And therefore, what is the mark? That is not that there is no more desire for sin. That is not the mark. No. But that mark is that that desire for sin that has become a sorrow in my heart. That's the new man. And he is weeping that that old man still continues. Shall not have dominion. Though you think that it will grow more and more and that it seems to have dominion, it shall not have dominion. Only you must learn that you will not be received because of that new desire. Said it this morning. One lesson. One lifelong lesson is taught by that Holy Spirit. That is what lies here. And why? So that what John declared becomes our personal experience. He must increase, and I must decrease, and that people will sing eternally to the glory of God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give this change. O give this new heart. Give it in each and every one of us. O give us to storm, Lord, to storm thy throne of grace. Give us not to let thee go, except that thou would bless us. Oh, give it to the young, give it to the old. That is our only hope, that thou would come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, Lord, our hope that is alone upon thee. Oh, we beseech it of thee, that it may be experienced in the midst of this our congregation, that there may be a testimony among them that we indeed do speak the truth of thy word, when they may know it by a personal experience. Lord, remember us.
To whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Look upon us, bring us safely to our homes. Help us in the week to come. Be with us when we hope to gather for a service in this week, that two may be united to be one. Be thou in the midst of us. Be with those who must labor in the midst of the congregation next Sabbath day. Remember us also when we go away. Be with us at the meetings which must take place. And remember us as a denomination. And wilt thou cause thy truth to prosper in the midst of us. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Psalter 209, stanzas 5, 7, 9, 10, and 11. 209, 5, 7, 9, 10, and 11. My constant meditations bring my heart to anxious questioning. Has God cast off, and will he be no longer merciful to me? Psalter 209, 5, 7, 9, 10, and 11. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.